Welcome, everyone. My name is Wendy Alfson, and I'm the with California Walks, which is a nonprofit in California. We work statewide, and one of our projects is with youth leaders. And I have here today with me Mari Jose Diaz and Chris Chavez, who are part of the California Walks Youth Leaders Group. They're both high school students, and this is their third time at APHA, and they're also part of the Youth Council. We don't have any relationships to disclose. The mission of California Walks is to be the statewide voice for pedestrian safety and healthy walkable communities for people of all ages and abilities. So we work on both at the community local level and at policy levels, local, regional, statewide. We have 27 affiliated organizations across the state of California. And this particular project is based in Kern County, which is the southernmost county of the Central Valley of California. And the red part shown in the middle of the county is what's called the Bakersfield metropolitan area. So it's both a very rural farm county, desert, mountains, and city. In Kern County, there's a large number of people who are living in poverty, 22.5%. There's 8.9% unemployment rate. The median income for the county is well under the state's average. And Bakersfield metro area is the third in the nation for ozone particulate pollution per the American Lung Association, and 2 years ago it was the first. And at least, I think both other places in the nation are also in California. California's had a climate change series of laws designed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. For the first time, this series of statutes tie transportation and land use planning together. And this is a critical part of the built environment that has to be impacted in order to have improved health outcomes. And under this law, for the first time, the regional planning agencies had to develop what's called a sustainable community strategy in order to start to achieve these reductions. So we saw throughout the state that this was an opportunity to bring health into the picture for transportation and land use, and to reduce some of the disparities that exist in counties such as Kern's. We look to, in our work, to increase both transit and active transportation investments. If you don't know, active transportation is walking or bicycling, and especially connecting them with transit for the longer trips. To improve air quality, to invest in existing communities. In California, our pattern of development historically is the suburban subdivision large lot. In Kern County, they had proposed to have 90% of the new housing over the next 25 years be on large lot size and large houses, and 50% of the people already rent and can't afford to live in large houses on large lots, even if everybody wanted to. And they've been using up the agricultural belt of the country and the world, the Central Valley, at an astounding rate. So we wanted to also protect those agricultural lands so that we still could grow food at home. We worked as part of forming a broad-based coalition that brought together environmental groups, social justice groups, the American Lung Association, a farmland trust, and most importantly, from the health perspective, the Greenfield Walking Group is a group that started as an all-volunteer community-based group that started in 2006 and is active to this day in transforming their community. And they work with both California Walks and with Building Healthy Communities, which is a project of the California Endowment. So we brought all these different groups together at Leadership Council. It's an equity group that works on policy and legal changes. Our strategy was to begin with engaging the next generation, and this is a picture of some youth and some of their adult partners in South Kern and holding up posters from four different parks in the southern part of the county that have been transformed under youth and community leadership. And today, this is a picture from the San Francisco APHA where Mari Jose and Chris first appeared and presented. I'm going to turn this over to them to explain about Video Voice and the work they've done in community advocacy.
Hi, I'm Mari Jose Diaz, and as Wendy said, I'm a California Walks youth leader. I've been involved with California Walks for 6 years, I want to say, six or seven, and I'm currently a high school senior.
I'm Chris Chavez. I also work with Wendy as a youth leader, and this is my third year with California Walks.
All right, so like we said, our project is Video Voice, right? So, I mean, you can ask yourself, what is Video Voice? So it's a tool that we use to tell a community story and, like, all the challenges it faces. And through that tool, we also suggest ways to change it and to create a healthier community.
This was a boot camp we did two summers ago with youth in the Greenfield area. I think it was 4 days, and they learned how to use Video Voice and how to present it at our Council of Governments. We worked also with seniors, the California Alliance for Retired Americans. They also helped us present at our Council of Governments. When we did go present for our Council of Governments, we had a safety action outside with both the seniors and the youth, and it made the front page of our local newspaper. This was the, on the left side is the seniors, and on the right side is the youth. That's another picture of the youth. We presented two videos, one on transportation and one on the air quality, because the air quality in Bakersfield, where we're from, is very bad. So this is the first video.
And she was also speaking on behalf of, young public transportation.
So I just wanted to report out some of the results of this more than year-long advocacy campaign, was that the final adopted plan increased active transportation by over 800%. Up to $11.6 billion through 2040. And they didn't plan to do that when they started. It included a complete streets policy, which you're scheduled to hear more about this afternoon, and committed to seek funding for a regional pedestrian facilities inventory. This is step one to having a plan for what are the projects that are most needed in the places where they're most needed. And a regional safe routes to school program, which some of you may be familiar with. It also created a grant program to assist disadvantaged communities with active transportation planning so they could qualify for state grants as a part of our state policy work. We were instrumental with a wide collaboration in the creation of the first statewide active transportation program, which has about $130 million a year in it, to give competitive grants across the state. And we were able to embed in that a requirement that at least 25% of the money directly go to benefit disadvantaged communities. And because they waive the match requirement, usually in transportation projects, the local city or county has to put up a minimum of 10%. In this case, it was 11-something. Say they waived that requirement for disadvantaged communities in the first grant cycle, 90% of the money was awarded to disadvantaged communities because of the incentive that the regional and locals didn't have to put up the match. So they all, for the first time, their disadvantaged communities were prioritized instead of left at the bottom of the pile. Also, in this particular plan, we were able to limit development on agricultural lands more than a third of what they originally proposed by reducing the amount of housing that would be large single family and move a greater percentage of it to more affordable multifamily housing. And that was also to be concentrated in existing communities where housing and jobs could be located together, and that in turn allows us to create a community where it's possible for people to walk, and that in turn is the most available form of physical activity, so we have improved health outcomes in addition to better air quality from less driving. And the lessons we learned in this project and in all of our work is that community residents must be at the table and that their voices can change policy. That it's not enough to post a workshop notice by some governmental agency for people to come and listen to a presentation and nod their heads. That's not community participation. But the community residents are the ones who really have the expertise over need and what is the priority and what needs to be done first and how, and they can participate and be part of the solution. And by being strong partners, they can actually change policy to meet their needs. It is important to be persistent over the long haul. We didn't get these results by showing up at two meetings with a lot of data. You know, we had to go to meetings and meetings and more meetings, many of which were boring. And that youth sat through hours of meetings, you know, and listened to tedious stuff before they even had, and then we would get a chance to comment, make a two-minute comment. But by being there all the time, eventually they saw that that people were serious, and as we had a broad coalition of people coming regular, if not every meeting, each person, that organizations all sent representatives. And so a body that was not used to ever having public participation got used to having a room that always had a good showing, no matter what was on the agenda. So they knew we were watching the process. They knew people really cared. People really helped them do their community outreach. And that's one of the ways that the community-based organizations were able to be strong partners. Our other strategy was that any small step or large step that the agency took in a positive direction, we always publicly acknowledged and complimented them so that we didn't make them look bad all the time, that we tried to help them make them look good when they actually did something that was useful. The broad coalition and wide collaborations are also essential to this kind of public policy change, and the youth and the senior voices and their real stories are powerful not only locally and regionally, but across the nation. I think that's why these youth get invited to present at national conferences. And I just wanted to say that Chris's video, which we didn't get to share, shows, you know, he talks about his own journey with asthma and why living in a place that has bad air makes a difference to him personally. And I just thank you. Really encourage all of you to be involved, as you must be to be here in community advocacy. Thank you.